the good news is he didn't just leave you when he delivered you. He then transported you from where you are to a place that's got all the grace you need for as long as you live. Because this throne has got plenty of grace to go around.
Prayer is an indispensable ingredient to your spiritual development. Hello, Tony Evans here with The Alternative, and we're so excited to be able to talk to you about prayer because it is key to your spiritual growth. In fact, without it, growth is impossible because contact with heaven cannot happen. So as you can see, this is a very important concept and a concept we want to unpack for you right now. So come on, let's go. Let's grow together by understanding more deeply the importance of prayer.
God has a contact switch that he has provided every believer for the flow of the already existing work of the Spirit that has been provided to engage the new nature to express itself. And that contact switch is prayer. Prayer is the contact point to engage you where you are to the work of the Spirit within you where it is. For many people, prayer seems so unrelated to the realities of life. For many of us, even though we're believers, it's still like Thanksgiving. It's a holiday. But God has so wired the new nature with the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit that it takes prayer to ignite, engage, to set afire the work of the Spirit to grow the new person within. So important is prayer to spiritual growth that Paul says, don't leave home without it. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what? In other words, he says, never not do it. Prayer is the contact point for the engaging of the Spirit for the growing of the new life you have in Christ. It is God's prescribed way to link our world with his world. It is the access point of the new covenant whereby the Holy Spirit is engaged for our growth. Prayer is your passport to heavenly places. Now, we know we live in heavenly places because God says so. We know we're seated alongside of Jesus Christ's right hand because God says so. But you must admit, sometimes that seems like a foreign land. I can't speak the language there. I don't know the customs because I'm used to living in this world, but all my power is in that world. All my victory is in that world. All my peace is in that world. All my joy is in that world. Everything I need is in that world, but I don't know how to speak the language. Guess what the job of the Holy Spirit is? To teach you the language of that world. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that he intercedes. And he is so good at this. Romans 8 says he intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, he interprets prayers that you can't even talk about. He says that we are to pray without ceasing because prayer is the link between the physical world and the spiritual world. And since the spiritual world controls the physical world, getting to the spiritual world affects your functioning in the physical world. Prayer is the link, because what the Holy Spirit does is link up with prayer in order to work in the spiritual realm and bring about the growth and transformation. Now, the devil doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to understand how potent prayer is, because once you do, he loses his ability over you, because you can transfer at any point in time. Now, anyone who has tried to pray or taken prayer seriously knows that it can be an awkward, difficult enterprise. You have all the best intentions in the world to talk to God. You get on your knees or whatever posture you happen to be in prayer, and it looks like as soon as you get started, something happens. Or your mind begins to wander. You got to call your mind back. You feel guilty, feel bad. You start talking after 30 seconds, you done run out of stuff to say. Why is prayer so hard? Because you are moving into another realm. Paul, the author of Hebrews, was writing to believers who were no longer growing. In fact, they were regressing. They weren't moving forward in their spiritual dynamic. They were moving backward in their spiritual dynamic. And his whole point in Hebrews is press on. Don't quit. The author of Hebrews, who is actually unspecified, wants to tell these saints that they have something available to them in order to assist them as they move forward in their spiritual development. Since, Hebrews 4:14 says, we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't quit. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near. That's prayer. With confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me give you a very simple definition of prayer. Prayer is relational communication with God. Jesus, in talking to his disciples about prayer, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but I just want you to hear what Jesus says. He says in verse 5, and when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. He says, prayer is not showtime at the Apollo. Prayer has got nothing to do with whether you know all the fancy words and have all the sophisticated posture. In fact, he says you do your best prayer when nobody's around. He says go into your secret closet, but if that's not enough, he says shut the door. Now, why I need to shut the door if I'm already in secret? He says, because it's just you and God. And he doesn't say you and God, he says you and your Father. Because prayer is a family discussion. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Prayer is relational communication with God, not ritualistic. Prayer is relational communication with God. And Jesus told his disciples that when you pray, please know you're talking to me. Prayer is the access, the contact point. How is that possible? Look at the text. The process. Jesus Christ, he says, makes prayer work. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Jesus made a statement. It's a powerful statement. He said, without me, finish it. You can do nothing in John 15. He says, without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? Now, guess what? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. No, he really means that. Nothing. Now, what does he mean by nothing? What he is saying is, because the context of John 15 is being productive, bearing fruit, bearing much fruit, bearing more fruit. He's talking about being productive, the growth factor. He says, you can't grow without me. Without me, you cannot grow. So therefore, you must draw near to me. And the word in John 15 is abide. That means stay close, draw near. As you draw near to me, he says, you can pray whatever you want to, and I will do it. What a powerful request. Why? Because we so close, because prayer is the relational communication with God. We're so close that I will share my life with you. And in this passage in Hebrews, we find out a number of wonderful things about our Lord, who is the intercessor. First of all, his person. He is Jesus, the Son of God. What a great, great full statement. See, Jesus was his human name. Son of God was his divine title. In Jesus, as you've heard me say so often, you have the most unique person in the universe because you've got a man, Jesus, the son of a woman, and you've got God because he's the son of deity. Unto us, a child is born, Jesus, but unto us, a son is given, deity. He is a unique person, and I'll say more about this in just a second, but he's a unique person because he's human, so he can feel what you feel, but he's divine, so he can fix what you feel. He is unique in his person. He's also unique in his position. He says, we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens. He's not a high priest, he's a great high priest. Now, the high priest's job was to represent the people before God. He went into the tabernacle, into the tent where nobody else could go. And he went before them on the Day of Atonement in order to bring the sins of the people that they might be forgiven and bring back out to the people the grace of God. He was a uniquely positioned person to represent the people before God and represent God before the people. That was the high priest. He was the intermediary. He was the mediator. He was the in-between link. There were many priests, but then there was the high priest, chief priest in charge. It says Jesus is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens. There are three heavens. There were three sections to the tabernacle. There was the outer court. There was the inner court. And there was the Holy of Holies, the hangout of God's throne room. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was. So you have the tabernacle, which was the replica of heaven on earth in the Old Testament, which became the temple, outer court, inner court, holiest of all. The Bible declares that there are three heavens. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, where we live, the heaven of gravity, the heaven of clouds, the heaven of oxygen. Then there is the planetary heavens, the stellar heavens, where the stars and the planets exist. Then the Bible talks about a third heaven, the throne room of God, where deity concentrate lives. Now, if you're living on earth, where you want to go is the third heaven. Any of us can get to the first heaven simply by jumping up and down. Or if you want to go a little higher, get on an airplane. You can get to the second heaven by getting a space shuttle. And that'll take you to some minor parts of the stellar heaven where some of the planets are that we can get to. But there are no answers to life reality on an airplane. There are no answers to life realities on a shuttle. Both of them have come down before. Where you want to get is the third heaven, where the throne room of God is. The problem is, how do I get there? I can't get to the clouds unless somebody take me there. I can't get to the planets until somebody gets me there. We have a high priest who has gone where no plane has ever gone before, who has gone where no shuttle has ever gone before, because he's passed through the heavens, that is the first two, and he's now seated at the big heaven, which is the third part of the tabernacle, which is the very throne room of God. In other words, we can skip a lot of stuff. When you go to God because you've hit the contact point of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ makes sure it gets to the proper location, and that is the very presence of God. Because we have a great high priest. Jesus, the Son of God. So he's a unique person, because he's man and God, holding a unique position, able to get us into the very throne room of God. Because the Son is related to the Father, he can bypass all the stuff that blocks you and I out. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name. Because he can walk us by all the blocks, take us through the heavens into the very presence of God. No matter what you're facing. But look at this, he's also unique in his passion. Verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted or tested in all things as we are, yet without sin." That's a sermon by itself. You have a high priest, an intercessor, who's both man, Jesus, and God, who can sympathize. Oh, I wish I had time to deal with the theology here. To sympathize means to feel it with you. I mean, to feel it with you. Well, let me ask this question. Can the Father tell you what it feels like to sin? Father can't tell you what it feels like to sin. Father has never sinned. Now, he can tell you what sin is. He can tell you how much he hates it, but he can't tell you what it feels like to do it. Because that's never happened to him. That's never been part of his Sitzenleben. Throw a little German out on you. Sitzenleben means situation in life. life. That's just never been part of his modus operandi. He's never done it. He knows all about it, but he's never done it. But God the Father wanted to be able to relate to you and me on the feeling level. He wanted to know by feeling it with us what we meant when we went. He wants to know on the feeling level. He wants to emote with you. So what he did was sanction the second member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Why don't you go put on a body like they have? Why don't you get emotions like they have so that you can feel it? Because I want to feel what they feel, and if you feel it, I can feel it, because we are one. We are one in essence. And so God the Son put on a body, and the Bible says, and he was hungry. So whenever you're hungry, God the Son says, I know what you're talking about. The Bible says he was thirsty. Whenever you're thirsty, God the Son says, I know where you're at. I'm feeling with you. You're all up in my grill. I know what you're talking about. The Bible says he was rejected. Now, if you ask the Father could tell you what he meant, but Jesus can tell you how it feels, because he feels it with you. Yeah, but I got all this sin on me. Jesus says, I feel you. Not because I have sinned, but because I have borne sin, not my own, so I had to feel it. I had to feel it. I wasn't feeling mine, I was feeling yours, but I want you to know it hurt. We have a high priest who can sympathize. And then he's unique in his provision. Let us draw near. That's prayer. With confidence. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't think you're wasting your time. Don't think, what good is this going to do? Draw near. Because it's relational. Prayer is relational, not ritual. It's relational. Draw near. Come close. Come close. Come close. Come close. With confidence. Do you understand what that means? You couldn't do this in the Old Testament. Ain't no drawing near. You walk up in that Holy of Holies, they carry you up out of there. Ain't no drawing near. Only the high priest drew near. Everybody else stayed back. But Jesus says, I passed through the heavens, permanently satisfied the demands of God. Come on in here. It was an access point. God says, you have been duly authorized by virtue of your connection with me. And here's where you can come to the throne of grace. Now watch this. He gives more grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here it is, here it is. Grace is given based on the need at the moment. God gives us what we don't deserve, can't pay for, could never earn, from a throne that never runs out, tied to the need based on our drawing near. In other words, the throne has grace, but you got to draw near to the throne to get the grace that the throne has. So a prayerless Christian is a graceless Christian. A Christian that is not praying as a lifestyle is not growing in their life, because they are not hanging around the throne which dispenses grace. But he only gives you enough grace to cover what the need is right then. And he's not going to give you tomorrow's grace till tomorrow. He's going to give you the grace you need for today, if you draw near. his provision won't run out. You can't bug him too much. You're not getting on his nerves. He didn't go through all this for you not to draw near. Our Savior one day heard you call on him. You said, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. He came down to earth. He found you slain with sin. And he reached down to be your Savior. But the good news is he didn't just leave you when he delivered you. He then transported you from where you are to a place that's got all the grace you need for as long as you live. Because this throne has got plenty of grace to go around. Now, when you got a Savior like that, a Holy Ghost like that, and a Father like that, how can you stay away and not draw near? Now, Satan don't want you to know this. Because once you discover this, you're going to draw near and he's going to lose his power. Because you're going to start to grow. He's going to lose his control. Draw near. You say, but I'm tired. Draw near. I'm frustrated. Draw near. I'm hurting. Draw near. I'm irritated. Draw near. I feel like quitting. Draw near. He says, draw near and you'll see that my throne has enough grace, enough goodness, enough benevolence, enough kindness, that no matter what you're going through, I'll meet you right where you are. It's time to draw near so we make the contact so that we grow.
As you can see, prayer matters. Prayer is critical. Prayer is foundational. Prayer is absolutely necessary for your spiritual growth. And to help you go deeper in your understanding of prayer, why don't you contact us right now and get your set of CDs, The Power of Prayer Series. The Power of Prayer Series, these CDs will help you to understand and grow in your understanding of and application of prayer. We also want to tell you about our brand new book called Kingdom Prayer. This prayer is a little different than normal prayer books or books about prayer because it's tapping into the issue of authority because it's kingdom. You know me, everything's about kingdom, and kingdom has to do with rule and authority. Well, God gave us prayer so that we could access his rule and his authority from heaven and draw it down to earth into your life circumstances. And so this book, which you can get at any Christian bookstore on Amazon or right here at our ministry, will help you to grab the authority that heaven wants to give you so that earth has to be changed by you. So contact us here at the Urban Alternative, 1-800-800-3222. Or log on to TonyEvans.org, where we have so much for you to understand who we are, what we do, and all the resources we have for you. And remember, can you be as generous as you can to our ministry? Because in order for us to keep doing what we're doing in your life and around this nation and the world, we need your help. Help us. Pray for us. Thank you for befriending us. God bless.